I find as I get older, I like tradition more and more. I think that's a sign of old age. And I'm realizing that when you're young, tradition may not mean so much to you. All you want is you want to get those Christmas presents as fast as you can. But I have come to love tradition. One of the great traditions that we do here at Plantation Baptist Church involves Christmas time. I have a tradition every Christmas season of revisiting the Christmas story. I find that as I revisit the Christmas story, I always learn something new about the story. The Bible is the inexhaustible Word of God, which means there's always something for you to learn in God's Word. So I thought for my time today, for a few moments, I would once again tell you the old story. The songwriter said, I love to tell the story. And then he said, to those who know it best, we seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. The old story of Jesus and his love. I heard an announcement on the radio this week that a research was done by the Pew Research Council. They did a survey in which they said that between today and tomorrow, 51% of those in America would find themselves darkening the door of a church. I went on Google this morning. I said, what is the population of the U.S.? Google knows everything. And they gave me a number of about 323 million people. I'm sure we've probably added that a little bit since then as babies are born around all the time. But if you take half of 323 million people, you're at about 160 some million people will come and visit inside of a church today and tomorrow. And I would say this as a pastor, you hope and you pray that as those people come inside churches, that they get the Word of God. And I am finding that it is important that churches like your family continue to tell the old story. It amazes me how our generation coming up, which or our generation that has arrived, they call millennials. And then as you look at the younger generation, how Christmas is beginning to wane in its biblical understanding. All we know about the Grinch and we know about Elf. I mean, the whole world knows about Elf, right? I mean, Will Ferrell has literally stolen Christmas from everybody. They know all of that. Nothing wrong with that. But my friends, the reason for the season is Jesus Christ. So I just want to take a few minutes and tell you a story. I hope you have a Bible with you. If you have your Bible, I teach our people to do something. Find, if you would, Matthew chapter 1. Also, find, if you would, please, Luke chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1 and Luke chapter number 1. I usually do this when I get there. I pinch those two, that section of paper between my fingers so I can flip back and forth like this. I find it's easier to do that. I would invite you to do that. If you not have a Bible, I would beg you to be able to look on with someone. And if you don't have one, there should be one in the pew in front of you. Feel free to reach out and to use that as well. But I would love for you to be able to read with me the story. So much rich application in this story for your life today to set, I believe, a beautiful tone for you to enjoy Christmas. When you begin the Christmas story, you have to begin in Matthew chapter number 1. I love to begin with verse number 18. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. I love the way the Bible phrases that. I love the confidence of Scripture. I want you to know right at the beginning that I hold in my hand the eternal Word of God, and the eternal Word of God is truth. If you're here today and you're looking for truth in the world, you have found what you have been looking for you will find absolute truth in the Word of God. So many people have been discouraged because they've missed a very important aspect of their search for truth. Many people have been disappointed because they look at churches for truth. And I just want to let you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but churches are filled with sinners. This church is filled with bad sinners. Starting from me going forward. So many people are disappointed because they look for truth in Christians, or they look for truth in church people, and they look for some kind of absolute truth and some kind of religious order, and they miss it. Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to know truth, oh, read your Bible. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Oh, you must understand the beginning of the Christmas story. You must understand that the main characters on the Christmas story is a young lady named Mary and her espoused husband named Joseph. Right at the beginning of the Christmas story, the Bible directs a unique title to Mary. She is the mother of Jesus. I want you to understand that nowhere in the Bible does the Bible ever say that Mary is the mother of God. God himself had no father or mother. God is eternal. However, the Bible says that God became flesh. And he dwelt among us. And so God became a man, and a man coming into the world had to come into the world every way, in the normal way that humanity comes in. And so Jesus came through the womb of his mother. The Bible is very, very clear to let you know that Mary is the mother of Jesus, and Joseph is the espousal to Mary. Never does the Bible ever say that Joseph is the father of Jesus, because the father of Jesus is God himself. Joseph is espoused to Mary. And what you need to understand about the Bible days is the espousal was a step in the marriage process. Oh, it carried a deep bond. If you go back into the Old Testament, you will find that it was regulated in a deep bond. But it was a union in preparation for marriage, but there was no intimacy as husband and wife. Into this espousal situation, Mary finds herself with child. Pastor, are you telling me that Mary was without child, or was with child without a man? That is exactly what I'm telling you. And many of the women are thinking, boy, I wish I could do that too, you know. No, it's the Christmas story now, okay? And so Mary's without child, she's with child without a man. Pastor, that's always bothered me. How in the world did that happen? Oh, remember what I told you about the Bible being true? When you look at verse number 18, at the end of that, the Bible says, she was found with child of the, say those two words, Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Who put Jesus in the womb of Mary? The Holy Ghost. Well, Pastor, how did that happen? Oh, I was hoping you would ask that. You got your finger there. Come, if you would, to Luke chapter number 1. Let the Bible be the commentary on the Bible. Pick up, if you would, please, in verse number 26. And in verse number 26 of Luke chapter 1, the Bible begins the Christmas story here with a date, a reference point. The Bible says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. What you need to know about that 6 month is that is the timetable that Mary's cousin Elizabeth had been carrying a baby. Mary's cousin Elizabeth has a very famous baby boy. His name is John the Baptist. What you'll learn later is that Elizabeth was like many of the ladies today. She had a very difficult time getting pregnant. The Bible actually says that her womb was barren. And yet God had moved miraculously in the womb of Elizabeth and allowed with her husband for there to be conception, and a son was coming. This son had been prophesied by all the Old Testament writers, and he would be the one that would go before the Lord and cry, "Repent, for the Son of Man is here." His name is John the Baptist. So she's 6 months with child, and at that moment in time, the angel now visits Mary, her cousin. Pick up, if you would please, in verse number 27. "To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." Now, it is imperative that you understand that Mary was a virgin. The Bible's very clear in the Christmas story to tell you that she never knew a man until after the Lord Jesus was actually born. Then her and Joseph as husband and wife would relate that way. Pastor, why the virgin birth? Oh, you have to understand the whole gospel to understand the virgin birth. But Jesus Christ was born into this world for a purpose. He was born into this world so that later he could go to the cross and die for our sin. I'll show you that in a moment. And in order for him to do that, he had to be different than any other man that walked on the face of the earth, because all other men and women were tainted by sin. And Jesus could not die if he had been tainted by sin. Therefore, there would have been no covering. So Jesus had to be sinless, perfect, not tainted. And by the way, that's exactly how he came. Well, Pastor, no man is perfect. There's one. There's one. His name is Jesus. And so the difference between Jesus and you is the blood that ran through his veins. You and I, we have human blood. The blood that ran through Jesus' veins was the blood of God. Sinless, perfect blood. Had to be that way. I'll explain it to you in a moment. Look, if you would please, in verse 28. "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among..." Say it. Women. Women. So many people misunderstand the Christmas story when it comes to Mary. Yes, Mary is highly favored. And yes, Mary was blessed to be the mother of Jesus. And yes, Mary in some aspects was exalted a little bit above women because of that. But Mary, the Bible does not say here that she is blessed above God. It says she's blessed above women. I want you to know something, that Mary was born a sinner just like you and me. And even though Mary births the Savior, she also believes on the Savior. Had she not believed in the Son that she birthed, then she would not know the life that the Son brings. Be careful not to put too much emphasis on Mary. She very quickly departs from the Christmas story. Pick up, if you would please, at verse number 30. Or verse 29. "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name," say it, class, "Jesus." Speaking of tradition, last night we did Christmas with my mom and dad up in West Palm Beach. And my dad has a tradition that he reads the Christmas story before we open up presents. And last night, just to show you that you never can, you always learn something, I've heard that thing read for 44 years. And I was sitting there and I thought, you know what? I'm going to record my dad this time. And so I picked out my cell phone and I got it on record and I held it there, and he started reading the Christmas story. And he got down to Jesus. And if you notice in verse 31, at the end of 31, Jesus is all capital letters. Now, in the Old Testament, you find these all capital letters. And speaking of the Jehovah of the old being the Jesus of the new. And you'll find in the Christmas story 3 times, I think, that Jesus is spelled all capital letters like this. And then my dad got down with all the children and he said this: "Do you know why Jesus' name here is all capitalized? And all the kids went, no. And I went, no. And he said, I think God did that because God didn't want you to miss it. Miss it. Let me tell you something. God doesn't want you to miss what Christmas is all about. And Christmas is all about Jesus. Mary, you're going to have a child. Call his name Jesus. Oh, keep reading. It gets better. He defines him. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. If you are a Jewish person in this room, that verse ought to mean the world to you. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, watch this, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the, say those three words, class, Son of God. Now watch this. That was the angel's answer to her. Look at verse 36. He gives an illustration. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. All you old women better look out here. This is biblical. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Would you read verse 37 out loud with me, please? For with God nothing shall be impossible. Oh, I want you to know that's why Christmas feels so miraculous. This is one of the great truths that God wants to communicate to you through the Christmas season. Here's what God wants you to know. With him, nothing is impossible. Our God can do all things. Our God is all powerful. So many people are disappointed. So many people in life have needs. And they just don't think that God can help them. My friends, if you're here today and your life is tough and your life is difficult, and right now you're in a situation and you think there's nobody that can help me and not even God can help me, I want you to know something. The devil wants you to think that way because the last thing the devil wants you to do is turn to God. But you happen to be seated amongst a bunch of people who have dealt with life very difficultly. And we have found that as we take our difficult life to God, there is nothing that our God cannot handle. Pastor, I would come to God, but I got so many problems. Good, God can meet every one of your problems. No, Pastor, you don't understand. My problems are unique. No, you don't understand. My Savior is unique. You see, Pastor, no. See, I've tried religion before. No, Christmas has nothing to do with religion. It has everything to do with a relationship with the living God. The Christmas story is miraculous. We serve a miracle power in God. Why in the world would not turn to him? Because they don't think he is sufficient or he is enough. But he is. If he can bring life from a dead womb, then he can bring life to any situation you have. And he not only brought you physical life, he can bring you eternal life. The message of Christmas is with God, nothing is impossible. Mary, in recognizing that, look if you would at verse 38. Here's what Mary said. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. When Mary realized that the message came from God, when she realized that the plan came from God, when she realized that this was the word of God, she submitted herself and she said, Lord, whatever you want to do in my life. You know, I have found that as I submit my life to the direction of the Word of God brings hope and peace to my life. Oh, I trust you know that in your life. As you were to continue the Christmas story, I stop right here and I think about Joseph. So the angel has come to visit Mary. The angel has announced to Mary, but Mary's got a problem. Mary's got to go home and tell Joseph she's going to have a baby. And Joseph's not a stupid idiot. He knows what has and has not happened. And so Joseph has to hear a pretty difficult moment from his espoused wife, Mary. We read about this in Matthew chapter 1. Now flip back there and see Matthew chapter 1 as the story continues. In Matthew chapter 1, you come to verse number 19, the Bible immediately tells us how Joseph received the news. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, there was a consequence to this in the Bible days, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, by the way, men, let me just make some Christmas application to you. Joseph's a good man. Joseph is a saved, godly man. Joseph is a man who loved his espoused wife. And this is a tremendous characteristic trait about this man, and I don't want the women to say amen to this. Joseph was a thinking man. Men, you lead your home, you lead your wife, you lead your children, you lead your grandchildren. I trust you as a man know how to think. I hope and pray that you, when you get faced with tough times in your life, you know how to get alone with God and think biblically and spiritually and off of the direction of the Word of God. This man just got the news that his wife is with child. To most men, they'd have went nuts. This man was a just man, and he stepped back, and he began to think. He began to spend time with God. What we need in our nation this Christmas season is for our men to learn how to spend time with God. Keep reading what happens here. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name. Oh, don't miss it. There it is again. Jesus. For he shall save his people from their what class? Sins. That is why we have Christmas. That is why God sent Jesus. God sent Jesus to die for the sin of the world, for my sin and for your sin. I love what Matthew did here, and I want to spend a moment here in the Christmas story, verse number 22. Matthew says of chapter 1, verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, say that part, class, God with us. Now, I love this. I love this because this is what happens in the Christmas story. In the Christmas story, the Bible is very particular to make sure it takes your mind and your understanding back into the Old Testament, back to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 7. And it arrests that verse right there where Isaiah said, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Now shall call his name Emmanuel, and goes on to describe the Lord. In the Bible, in the New Testament, reaches all the way back into the Old Testament, takes that verse, takes the birth of Christ, and then merges them together. Listen to Pastor Hunter. The Jehovah in the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. You'll never understand the Christmas story if you don't understand the Old Testament and link them together. So the Lord Jesus, and we know what Joseph thinks, and we understanding. Now go back to Luke chapter 2, and you have the birth of Christ in Luke chapter 2, verse number 1. This is very familiar. You probably have read this before. The Bible says in verse number 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Pastor, they had taxes in the Bible? Yes, they did. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Oh, you got to understand the taxing part of Christmas. It helps you reckon the greatness of God. Pastor, if God can use taxes, he must be great. Okay. God has a problem. The problem in the Christmas story is that Micah and all the prophets prophesied that Jesus would be born in what city? Bethlehem. But Mary and Joseph, they're in Nazareth. If Jesus would have been born in Nazareth, we'd be damned. He wouldn't be God. Matter of the fact, if one thing that the Old Testament said about Jesus was not true when he came, we would be damned. But it's all fulfilled in him. And so God had to get them from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Now, this is no different than how God's working in many people's lives. They live in states that have no, that have state tax, and they're moving to Florida because we don't have a state tax. And God is unfolding his plan for them. So God had this rule that Caesar Augustus would make this announcement that the whole world would be taxed. When God does it, he does it big, baby. So Joseph and Mary had to make their way back to their native city, which was Bethlehem. And would you not know that while she was there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And he was born in Bethlehem, just like it was promised. We serve a mighty God. Okay, pick up with the birth here. Oh, I flipped my page here. Luke chapter 2. Oh, actually, verse number 7 says that. Verse number 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Oh, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid, and so would you. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Would you read verse 11 out loud with me? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Pastor, all of these phrases that I'm hearing, they sound like all the phrases in the Christmas hymns. Right. Where do you think they got the words for those? Verse 15. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came, and they came with haste. And they found Mary, and they found Joseph, and of course they found the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, verse 19 is so important. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her what class? In her heart. I'm almost done. I probably need 5 minutes to finish. This is what Christmas is all about. Christmas is all about your heart. That's what it's about. Christmas is God after your heart. You know, your physical heart is so important because it pumps the blood that allows you to maintain physical life. But you also have a spiritual heart that deals with eternal life. The whole world has Christmas in their mind, but the whole world doesn't have Christmas in their heart. How, Pastor, does Christmas go from your mind to your heart? Well, I was hoping that you would ask that question because I find the answer here in verse number 45 of Luke chapter number 1. Look, if you would, please, at verse 45 of chapter number 1 in the book of Luke. Elizabeth says this about Mary, and blessed is she that... Say that word, believed, believe, believe. You hear certain words that are themes at Christmas time. Macy's has made millions on the word believe. Believe. The Polar Express, I never understood that cartoon or that movie until my 11-year-old explained it to me. Didn't understand my DVR until my 11-year-old explained it to me. Didn't understand my iPhone 8 until my 11-year-old explained it to me. Oh, she's 12, but she's been doing a long time. And at the end of that, one of those recognitions is the word believe, believe, believe. My message today is entitled, Do You Believe? Now, I need you to understand the difference between your brain and your heart. Not only does it have a difference in this life, it has a difference in the next life. Just because you know who Jesus is and just because you know the Christmas story doesn't mean that you understand Christmas. Just because you have a general working knowledge of who God is and how he came into the world and what he did doesn't mean that you have a relationship with God. Here's why your heart is so important. It's one thing, you can have Jesus in your mind and in your brain and you can still miss heaven. But if you have Jesus in your heart, you will never miss heaven. The Bible says very specifically that it is your heart, that physical part of you that trusts and that believes, that spiritual part there, that heart is the one that enables you to believe upon the Lord. What does it mean to believe upon the Lord? It means to trust him. It means to receive him. It means to put your faith on him. And the Bible says this, that those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. There's a very big difference between having Jesus in your brain and having him in your heart. Well, Pastor, how do I know if I have Jesus in my brain only or if I have him in my heart? Oh, I was hoping you would ask that question. Because the Bible says this about your heart. Out of your heart comes everything you say. Out of your heart comes your thoughts. Out of your heart comes the actions of your hand. Your heart is not only the main organ of your body that pumps your blood, but your heart, that inner part of you, is also that part of you that enables you to relate and to understand and to act and to move. It's the motive of your life. If you have believed upon Jesus with your heart, the Bible says that the Spirit of God has indwelt you and has changed your heart, and then out of your life begins to flow the character of God. He transforms you. He makes you different. You see, to have Jesus in my brain and then just to live my life apart from God or without any relevance to God just shows that I have a working knowledge about God. But if I have Jesus in my heart, he changes my whole life. Amen? That's why most of the world is so mad at churches. And they want nothing to do with them. Because inside churches, we have people, they've got a general working knowledge of the Lord. And so they call themselves a Christian. But you cannot call yourself a Christian if you don't have Jesus in your heart. And so when the world sees people that have Jesus in their brain and then they live like the world, they say, well, those hypocrites, those people can't help me. They're fools. At least I'm honest in my sin, which you are. At least I'm not dishonest, which you're not. But I'm telling you something, it has nothing to do with them. Christmas is about you believing in your heart. That's what it's all about, my friends, in your heart. Have you believed upon Jesus with your heart? Matthew chapter 1 closes the Christmas story. I just want to show you the battle that's going on for your heart. Part of the Christmas story that you read about has to do with the wise men. Now, we have a nativity scene down here, and we've got some beautiful wise men. Please don't do this. I'm spiritually anointed to do what I'm about to do, okay? I'm going to pick him up. If you break him, you bought him. When you read the Bible, you find that the wise men, it's okay for them to be here, but they were not at the manger that night. Matter of the fact, they didn't show up for about 2 years after Jesus was born. The Bible very clearly says that when they came to visit Jesus, they visited him in a house. These wise men, the Bible said, came from the east. These wise men, when you study them, you can go all the way back into the Old Testament, read the book of Daniel. They came out of Daniel's ministry. They came following that star that was prophesied. These were saved, godly men that understood the times, that understood the Bible, and they came to worship the newborn king. We think there were three because they brought three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There may have been more, but we reckon these three, and when they came into the house, they fall down and they worship the Lord Jesus. On their way to finding the Lord Jesus, they had to go through Herod. Herod was the king at that time. Herod was a ruthless man. Herod understood and heard that a new king had been born, and his jealousy erupted. I submit to you that his jealousy that erupted was a demonic jealousy. Herod approached the wise men. You can read about this in Matthew chapter 2. And he said, listen, fellas, when you find this newborn king, tell me where he is so that I can come and worship him myself. And Herod was lying about this. Herod wanted to destroy the newborn king. Pick up, if you would, please, Matthew chapter 2, verse number 13. This is our last section. The Bible says, and when they, the wise men, were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now, God knew that Herod wanted to kill Jesus. He did not want this newborn king to be born. God protected the wise men. They were supposed to go back and give a report to Herod. God directs them a different way. Look at Herod's response in verse 16. And then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and, what's that word, class? Slew, killed, murdered, slaughtered all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof. From how old? That's how we figure Jesus must have been, around 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Now listen, this is what Herod said. Herod said, wise men, when you come and you tell me where he is, I want to come worship him. God knew that was not true, so God directed them accordingly. When Herod found out that he had been denied that, Herod went into a fit of rage. And here's what Herod said. If you're not going to tell me where one child is, I'm going to kill every single child. I'm going to take every single child 2 years old and under, and I'm going to kill them all in Bethlehem, and I'm going to kill them all into the coast. And I'm going to try to eradicate this newborn child. It's interesting that the Bible had prophesied this. Read, if you would, please, at verse number 17. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Pastor, that's part of the Christmas story they don't make movies about. No, they don't. Pastor, that's not very joyful or encouraging. No, it's not. But you need to understand it, because this part of the Christmas story is still going on today. You need to understand that the Bible says about Satan himself that he was a murderer from the beginning. Herod himself was satanically motivated to go after the Lord Jesus. Satan has always tried to destroy the Lord Jesus. He tried to keep him from being born. When he couldn't keep him from being born, he tried to kill him after he was done being born. And all throughout, he tried to prevent Jesus from going to the cross, dying, and rising again. The application for you today is this. Satan is still trying to keep Jesus from the world. He's still trying. And so he'll tell you things like, you don't need God, when the Bible says you can do nothing without God. He'll tell you things like, oh, this is just a story, but it won't help you. My friend, he's the only person who will help you. He'll tell you things like, God's not sufficient to bless you or to enrich you or to help you or to encourage you or to lift you or sustain you, when he's the balm of Gilead. He's the great help that we have. He'll tell you you're okay because you're no worse than everybody else. Right. And everybody that's ever been born is a sinner who needs a savior. He tells you these things, constantly trying to keep Jesus away from you, believing upon him with your heart. You see, the reason Jesus was born that night was so that he could be born in your heart today. This is the Christmas story. It's not like any other fairy tale. It's the true word of God. This is why those of us that have believed upon the Lord as our personal Savior, we have entered into a personal relationship with God through Jesus because of him. We celebrate the moment that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I trust you know him in your heart this season. Thank you for listening. Would you pray with me, please?